something that you have to sort of learn to live with in sports in Canada is the host team format. And this is topical today because as I'm recording this, the Windsor Spitfires are 2-0 at the Memorial Cup. They were off for 44 days before the tournament because they lost in the first round of the OHL playoffs. Maybe I'll delve into that in a little bit. Right below the Canadian Hockey League level. Well, not below, but standing to the side of it, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, their championship, the RBC Cup, was decided on Sunday night, and the Coburg Cougars won. They were also the host team. They lost in their league semifinal, so they were laid off for 37 days before the tournament. And the thing about it, the host team, that people rail against it. It becomes a big thing when the host team, does get a break like that and ends up winning the championship. It happens from time to time. The thing that to me it always comes back to is just that the audience in Canada for sports, for anything other than really the NHL, the Canadian Football League, and curling, is just so nichey and fragmented that there just really isn't that national following for things like you get in the States, like the NCAA, and not just for, the men's basketball championship, not just for, the college football playoff or the bowl system. I mean, they can put it anywhere and get in almost any teams, and they're guaranteed a crowd, although even that's starting to, fray and ebb a little bit on them in recent years. The fragmentation is finally catching up to them. But in Canada, that fragmentation is the daily reality because, there isn't that one thing. Like the NCAA has ESPN to sort of, prop them up. We don't have, that, coast-to-coast, wall-to-wall coverage year-round because, that there isn't that. Because amateur and age group feeder leagues, by and large, they get ignored. U Sports, they brag that they have 15 games a year on TV. 15 games, i.e. as much action as the NFL has on one week in the fall. And Sportsnet, which I am fortunate enough to make a small contribution to as a writer, they do a great job of covering the CHL, but it's sort of hit and miss. But I guess the thing I really wanted to talk about is the fact that, yes, when you use that format, it basically is a crutch saying, the sport isn't properly marketed enough to the point where people are just going to buy tickets because, oh, look, the men's basketball Final Eight is coming to town. Oh, look, we've got the University Cup this weekend. Or I want to see, so-and-so this team play. Or, the Memorial Cup is coming here. So we're kind of, stuck with that. But I guess what I really sort of, the gist of this is sort of, was on radio this morning and it was on a podcast last week and people say, well, what would you do differently? Because I can't think of anything else. And that's with respect to the Memorial Cup, which is, the three league champions plus the host team. Once, believe it or not, there was a time when the host team would sometimes, win their league and you'd get the team that was just the league representative, like the Belleville Bulls, rest in peace, back in 2008 or 2006, the Quebec Remparts went in as the runner-up and ended up winning the tournament with Patrick Waugh as coach. But anyways, digressing. So like I said, they said, what would you do, differently? And believe me, I've racked my brain on this 1,000 times. I know one suggestion that I always thought was a great, sort of blue sky, in a perfect world, let's do this, would be to do it like sort of like a Champions League style playoff all season where every team would play everyone else. You'd have the 60 teams in the CHL play down, a series of two-leg playoffs, one home game, one away game, and whoever was left standing would be the host. Obviously, that would be kind of impractical. You'd have Bay Cuomo maybe going to Prince George. But the other thing I thought about was something the OHL did do for a very brief period, I guess in the late 80s and early 90s, was that they had a Super Series to decide the host team. And the way that worked was, I think the first time they did it was 1987. I believe it was the Oshawa Generals and North Bay Centennials were the two first place teams in each division. So they played a special series at the start of the playoffs and to decide who would host the Memorial Cup. And Oshawa won it, and then Oshawa ended up winning the league championship, so they just played the tournament with three teams, used the double round robin format that had been used in the 70s and early 80s, and I believe Medicine Hat ended up winning the first of two Memorial Cups in a row. Trevor Linden was on that team. Mark Fitzpatrick was the goalie. Anyways, and then 1990, that was Hamilton had been awarded the Memorial Cup. That was the year the Dukes of Hamilton. They were so off. They won 11 games all year, and it became obvious that they were going to be embarrassed if they were allowed to compete in the Memorial Cup. So they were pulled out, and I think what happened was after the first round of the playoffs, the top two highest remaining seeds in each division, and again it was Oshawa, the Eric Lindros, Dale Craigwell team. They beat the Kitchener Rangers, or maybe it went the other way. Anyways, Oshawa and Kitchener both were put into the Memorial Cup. Oshawa ended up beating Kitchener in double overtime to win the championship. And in 1993, it was sort of the same deal. The Peterborough Petes and the Sioux Greyhounds were the top two teams in the league, and they played a playoffs. They played a series before going back into the regular draw for the playoffs. The Sioux won it. And then the Petes ended up beating them in the OHL final, but it didn't really matter at that point. The Greyhounds were already in his host. The Greyhounds, won the Memorial Cup. My grandfather, J.C. Head, got to see that just a few weeks before he died, actually. So I kind of wondered, we bring up that example, and people are always like, well, the Memorial Cup is so huge now, the financial guarantee, the organizing committee has to make to the league, I mean, there's so much, to quote the agent in Blues Brothers, you got to prepare the proper exploitation for this kind of thing. But to me, I mean, this is a kind of an idea that maybe it's something that's just a Band-Aid, or maybe it's something that sort of stands off to the side of the main problem with the business model of the Memorial Cup. But I think on some level it would be a solve if the team hosting it had at least won something other than, making the best presentation in the boardroom to the league. Because as it stands right now, you look where the tournament is going to. It's only the teams with the really big arenas that are able to host it. And they obviously get that leg up in terms of being able to win a championship. Like Windsor has one of the biggest arenas in the OHL. Last year it was Red Deer, who has one of the larger arenas in the Western League. Quebec City the year before, London the year before that, Saskatoon. The only wild card is once in a while it does go to a small market in the Quebec League, which was 2012 when the Shawinigan Cataract got it. But there's the thing. They were one of those long layoff teams. They were off 30 days because they lost in the second round of the playoffs, and they ended up winning the tournament. I'm sure it didn't matter to 98.88% of the local fans who celebrated, and I'm sure it wouldn't matter to 98% of Windsor Spitfire fans, but in terms of legitimacy, when the team is off that long, yeah, it's always going to look like a bit of a farce if they win. So I guess the thing I was thinking about was maybe at some point you need to get a system where you pick two finalists to host the tournament, and you get them together at some point during the year, and they play, I don't know, a best of five, a best of three series that decides who's going to host the Memorial Cup. And that team is assured of it. When would you do it? Obviously, you'd have to do it a fair ways out from the actual tournament. Maybe you do it right at the start of the regular season. I know, and of course, I can already hear people complaining, well, we wouldn't have our full team there because guys would still be at NHL camps, blah, 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 wouldn't be fair, because the deck is so stacked against the London Knights and Windsor Spitfires of the world, don't you know? Maybe you play it at the end of the previous season or something. But, I mean, at least in this case, you could point to the team that's hosting the tournament and say they did something other than just sign the biggest check for the CHL, and then you let everyone hope and pray that they don't end up being off 6 weeks, so they basically get to restart their season and come in fresh. I mean, Windsor might end up winning the Memorial Cup after a 6-week layoff, and again, a Junior A team. I mean, that's the level of hockey I'm not as versed on. I won't suggest what they should do, but with the to ensure that they don't have a team take 5 weeks off and end up winning the championship. And as it stands, a bounce here, a bounce there, and the Brooks Bandits, a team that lost only 12 games out of 84 all season. Obviously, clearly the best team in the country, regardless of what whose name is going on the trophy. They wouldn't have been hosed like that. Anyways, maybe that's just the thing. Maybe you need to have some sort of, you know, cup play down between the top two teams, because then maybe, you know, a franchise like Sault Ste. Marie would bid if they knew, hey, we can put the bid, you know, we bring the bid forward, the league looks at it and says, okay, you're credible, you're viable, this is viable, we can work with it, maybe we wouldn't make as much money, but we'd still make a lot. And, you know, they play off against a Windsor. What would have happened? I mean, and hey, maybe Windsor still would have won, right? Anyway, it's just something to think about. And I guess that's all I've got to say for now.